To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
Do not adjust your computer screen. It's your mind we're changing. Stories set to a theme. Think outside. Universe Box.
Oh, hurry up, man. Boss is coming in.
Dude, almost got it.
Hey, guys, finished testing that game yet? I've got another one I need designed.
We just finished level 3 and need to tighten up the graphics a little bit.
Great.
Hey, I can't believe we got jobs doing this.
I know. And my mom said I would never get anywhere with these games.
Call Westwood College online, 800-914-8582. That's 914-8582. Call now.
From the heavens to your ears, this is Universe Box, and suck it up, Mom and Dad, we're leaving the nest. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And we're back for another wonderful episode here recording live, as we always
live,
do.
Live!
Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com. We have our chatters here.
So many chatters. Yeah, I love like it.
They're talking job interviews, Dragon Con, all sorts of business, all sorts of fun stuff. So I thank you guys for coming in. Glad to see you there. And Monica and Hope and Elizabeth and Michael.
Angel and Muster. And I know Bobby's on his way. Apparently his computer went into update mode.
Oh, that's never a good sign. That's never a good sign at all. But we do have a jam-packed episode. It's going to be a big, long episode
as has been
going lately. But we do have a couple of things we wanted to discuss with you first. Anne-Marie, you want to go ahead and tell them?
For sure. Okay, first off, you may have heard us talk about this before, but coming up in a few weeks, months, we're going to be doing a Leftovers episode, which is basically going to be all about you guys. If you have feedback on any episode we've done so far, but you haven't gotten it in on time because, well, life happens or you missed it, stuff like that, send it in now and say, this is for Leftovers. And we will totally put it on that episode. It's going to be basically a feedback episode of who thought this about Harry Potter. This is what home means to me. Look at me eat all these cookies. That is what we're looking for. Make it fun, make it entertaining, or, you know, just give us a little quip and a quabble.
Yeah, and just send that over to universeboxshow@gmail.com or leave a voicemail, 424-274-2352. You can also find the listing of every episode we've done so far at universeboxshow.com/category/show. And Anne-Marie, there was one other
little piece of business. Stop talking. All right. Also, coming up in a few weeks, for real, a few weeks, we are doing an episode on chocolate drool. Give me the chocolate, please.
Everybody loves chocolate.
And if you don't, you're not my friend anymore. But for this chocolate episode, we want to do something similar to what we did with the coffee and do a taste test. But we need your help. We want to do a taste test of all sorts of chocolates from all over the place. I know we have some international listeners. We've got listeners from all over the United States. Buy us a little piece of chocolate and shove it in the mail to our P.O. Box at P.O. Box 608-351, Orlando, Florida, 32860. And have it here by September 14th so that on September 15th, I can gorge myself with your chocolate.
And me too.
Man. Oh, I guess I'll give him a little – I'll give him the crumbs.
Even though it's not technically on my diet.
Yes.
I will say that some people in the chat room are saying that they're having some issues getting the video to load. You might just want to refresh and you might need to sign back into the chat room again. Sorry. I think it has to do with the fact that YouTube has started a new streaming thing. So there's probably some hiccups, a little bit of a growing pain. For them.
There's that, and there's also been a weird CAPTCHA problem lately.
Oh, has there?
Yeah, there's like a new CAPTCHA that sometimes takes over the world. But it's cool, if you refresh, you'll be fine.
Yes,
send me chocolate.
Long story short, send us chocolate.
Yes.
Okay, so Anne-Marie, I guess we should go ahead and find out what's in the box
this week.
What is in the box? I have no idea.
I know
we're leaving the nest. I know that we can learn video games. College. Yes, this week we're talking about college. First, we'll watch the classic film Good Will Hunting in the Wonder Box. We'll dig out some old college keepsakes in the memory box. Next, we'll put a quarter in the phone box to talk to Jason George about our time at West Liberty State College. We'll pull a card from the recipe box to concoct some dorm cuisine. And finally, we'll pull out some questions you submitted through the idea box, which is always a good time.
Always fun.
And we let you guys answer those questions in the chat room, too. Just a fair warning.
Don't mind me as I move in my paraphernalia.
The phone box conversation went pretty long.
It's long.
So we're going to be in the chat room for that. And there are some points where we kind of like hedge around the stories that we tell in the phone box. If you're in the chat room, you'll get the full scoop. Teasing it.
You might get some more little details.
Yeah, yeah. There's a good reason to stick around there because the chat room isn't logged.
No.
So
the chat room's fine.
Okay, so I guess we should go ahead and get into our first box, the Wonder Box.
The Wonder Box.
Yes, now it's time to find out if we'll rediscover the wonder we felt from our favorite movies and TV shows in the Wonder Box. So it's time to start a brawl in Boston as we dissect Good Will Hunting. How do you like them apples?
Apples.
Apples. How do you like them apples? I got a number.
I got a number.
Yeah, and by the way, since it is the college episode, we decided we needed to
drink
some beers, so we're having some beers here.
These are significantly higher quality than what we actually drank in college. Mm-hmm. If we were doing this properly, this would be Natty Ice, Ice House, Beast,
mm-hmm.
or Mad Dog and Boone's.
I think I also used to drink a lot of Miller High Life.
Oh, because
they had the tall boys.
I did not support the high life. I also did not support the cold homes. Ice House, Bad News Bears.
Okay, so anyway, why don't you go ahead and get us started with a rhyming movie summary, plot summary here.
For sure. Now for a tale of two boys from Southie. Sean's an old shrink, Will's smart, but he's mouthy. They're two men whose lives are ruled by excuses. Their lives both were rocked by stunning abuses. But together they'll end their emotional stunting in the 1997 classic Good Will Hunting.
There's not that many words that rhyme with hunting.
I was impressed with stunting.
Yes. Yeah, it seemed to fit pretty well. So, Anne-Marie, what did you just overall? What did you think of Good Will Hunting? And I see that Hope has never seen it. Well, we're going to be spoilery. Sorry.
Yeah. So enjoy.
Kind of have to be.
Oh, PBR. No. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Like this was an enjoyable way to spend my morning today because and Bill just shrunk 6 inches. I absolutely loved it and. It was entertaining, but it was also a little challenging to the head, mm-hmm. which was exactly what I like.
Yeah.
It was just challenging enough not to, make me want to turn it off.
Yeah. And as for me, like a general summary, I really enjoyed it too. Like I had seen it when I was younger mm-hmm. and I'll get into the story here in a little bit, but it really kind of affected my life concerning college. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of appropriate in that way, but it kind of hit me in a whole different way when I watched it earlier today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. With very kind of like current and relevant to what's going on in my life right now too.
Interesting.
So. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
You're not driving to California, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. I haven't met Mini Driver and then rejected her.
See, if you met Mini Driver, that'd be understandable. I like her.
You know, if he had had a slightly smaller car, he would have needed a Mini Driver to drive it.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
Go to your first point, please.
Okay, my first point here. One thing, and it was a very subtle thing, but I think it really said a lot about the quality of the script overall.
Mm-hmm.
By Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, they wrote it. It was Dr. Lambeau's TA, his teacher's assistant, because he has this whole little arc through the whole movie, and he's just like the side character. You at first
don't think is anything.
Yeah, and you would miss it if you weren't paying strict attention. Mm-hmm. But basically, you see him as the disrespected toady at the beginning where mm-hmm. none of the students will listen to him or anything.
They all walked out.
Then you watch him kind of stew in the background with jealousy as Lambeau sort of warms to Will and takes him under his wing and everything. And then finally, he defends Will to some of the other mathematicians, defends Will to them because they're kind of doubting him and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he finally befriends Will. And he's like, dude, you're wasting a really good opportunity here. Dr. Lambeau loves you and he has a good reason to. So he kind of eventually, just working in the background, comes around to mm-hmm. support Will. he finally gets over his own ego, his own jealousy,
right,
to see what Lambo sees in him, which is kind of cool. And it's just one example of the fully fleshed out arcs that every character in this movie gets.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the Minnie Driver character. And I don't think I've made any notes, but I didn't like that whole side plot. I mean, I know why it was there for the story. But I thought she was just kind of bland. She was a little bland to me. Yeah, I thought so.
Huh.
I thought so.
I liked her.
Fair is fair. But you know, it's just one of the many reasons why this was such a great script, and obviously, you know, Oscar winning and everything else.
Yes.
Oh, and a Knight RAF is in the chat.
Woo-hoo!
Hello, Knight RAF.
He's up hacking pack of Italy.
Yeah, but I mean, we can talk about Minnie Driver if you want to.
All right, let's talk about Minnie Driver for a second then.
Yeah, I don't know. She felt kind of ancillary to everything. Like, I mean, there was that one scene when she was like, they were all at the bar with Affleck.
Yeah, meeting the friends.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought she was kind of engaging in that, but I think it was really like that fight scene where he was like trying to push her away, and she was like...
she knew he was lying to her.
He was like pounding on the wall and like almost getting abusive, and she was like, no, baby, come on.
No, there was no.
It was a bit like that.
No, I think we watched a slightly different movie with that.
I'm just saying that you know, like the wall punch and stuff, like it felt like she should have been like, okay, all right, dude, get out of my apartment. But I mean, at the same time, I can understand how that character would react like that. Also, what function that character had in the story.
She was calling him on his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She was calling him on all of his lies and going, no, please open up to me. That's what I'm here for. That's what I want you to do. Like,
see,
she was trying to give him that person, that comfort, that love that he's never had because he's an orphan.
Yeah.
Like...
I did think it was a really interesting choice that they never, like, show him at the end of the movie. They never show him make it to San Francisco to see if, like, she would... Because, I mean, that's kind of a question left up in the air. Would she take him back after that very harsh rejection that he dealt
her?
You know, but I think if nothing else, I think, you know, kind of the message of seeing the car driving during the credits was, even if that did happen, if it didn't work out, that he's still kind of going off and embracing life, which is kind of the point of the movie.
How was he driving that car from Boston to San Francisco?
Well, they said it had a good engine.
Yeah, it didn't have a good engine. It had red paint on it. Like... That was crazy. Okay. I love, because this is a college episode, how many crazy classic college moments you really had in this. Okay. The payment plan for the double cheeseburger and then throwing it at him. That highly entertained me because I feel like I totally did something like that to people. Or they did it to me. Mm-hmm. The big lecture hall with the chalkboards and the moving. Like, I didn't have any of those classes, but my mom taught in one of those. Like, there was stuff like that. I played on the chalkboards. I didn't take those classes. Skylar and Will's date at the toy/joke shop, followed by the diner and the adorable first kiss. Mm-hmm. That was cute. That was fun. Him sneaking into her dorm to ask her out. And then when she says she can't because she's working on something, he just solves it so that she has no reason not to go out. I love that.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that he was kind of hiding how smart he was from her, too, like he was with the Southie boys. Like,
he didn't hide it from them. They knew. But they had no way to help him.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Like, I mean, there was that whole exchange with Affleck at the end where he's like, no. If you're still here in X amount of years, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, I kind of felt like Affleck was the closest to him, so he really understood it. But he never really let that intellectual side of himself come out when he was hanging out with the group, you know?
Well, would you? I mean, that's... Well, you don't always let that side of you out.
I definitely identified with that because, you know, I used to run around with some not so intellectual people. And it was very much like, you know, if you drop some knowledge around people who didn't have that knowledge, like a lot of the times, you know, the whole group would like turn against you. Like you were the person who was dumb in the situation.
Right.
You were actually trying to teach them something.
Right. My brother did that, actually. He fought off bullies that way.
Oh, really?
When he was middle school, maybe like fifth grade, it was like him at the pool, and there was like these four, like the popular guys came up to him, and he's like, "You and your whole entourage need to blah, 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 blah." And they just sort of were like, and walked away because they were like, "I don't know what an entourage." Nice. Sorry, side note. Okay. Introducing her to his friends, even though he doesn't want to, and she fits right in. Like, that sort of kind of happens. Like, it doesn't always happen, but you never know that this person's going to fit into your life in that way until you actually like let them.
Yeah.
We'll see him sending Affleck on the interview.
Oh, that was Affleck's best scene in the movie.
That was hilarious. That was the Affleck you know now.
Mm-hmm.
That was that guy.
Well, I think I wrote down in my notebook, like, this is like the big bombastic comedic Affleck. I haven't seen this guy in years. It was nice to see him again.
And you won't be seeing him again in years.
Oh, I know. Unless Batman takes a really weird turn.
You're going to take a really weird turn, yeah. Come to California, I Don't Love You. Like, the internal struggle, really, of whether you want to follow that college sweetheart, but you don't want to, but you do want to, and you don't want to rely on that. Like, that whole situation, like, and her even saying, like, I've been here 4 years and I just now found you. It's like, well, at least you found me. Like, there was that whole college love thing, and sometimes it goes this way, sometimes it goes that way. And sometimes it just takes your best friend to tell you to stop being a jerk. Basically, when Affleck was like, my happiest time is when I think you're not going to be there, which was his worst acted scene when he wasn't there. Like, the Affleck realization that he was gone.
I thought that was a really interesting thing too, that it took kind of Will's, because that was Will's comfort. That was his like comfortable situation where he didn't have to challenge himself. He didn't have to work hard. And he was told basically by, you know, the guy who he was closest to in that situation, no, we don't want you here. We want you gone.
Right.
For your betterment. So I thought it was a very interesting scene here. Yeah. A lot of, because Robin Williams, obviously, he plays a Dr. Sean McGuire in the movie.
Sad face.
And lots of positive vibes for Robin Williams in the chat room, for sure. Let's see here. Anything else fun?
Oh, I mean, there's lots of discussion in the chat room. FYI.
Always is. Always is.
More than usual. I like it.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and get to my next point then. Okay, so the why shouldn't I work for the NSA speech?
Was amazing.
Actually, this is trivia, and this is a bit storytelling on my part.
Storytelling.
Actually, part of the reason I ended up going to West Liberty and going back to college, because and you'll hear about this more in our phone box. But first of all, the speech is basically Will arguing that he can't work for the NSA because cracking a simple code would mean hurting a lot of other people and hurting people he cared about, like by proxy sort of thing. I went to UCLA for a bit, and it didn't work out. And I came back, and I was going to go into the Army.
Which is ridiculous if you know Bill at all.
Yeah, yeah, because the thing is, I'm a pacifist. But I scored really super high on my ASVAB. I got almost a perfect score on my ASVAB, so I was going to be like a computer technician or something. So I kind of justified it. Well, I won't be hurting anybody. I won't be infantry out there killing anybody or anything. So I kind of justified it in my mind that way, that I could still like maintain that pacifist credo. But then I watched this movie, and that monologue made me see that being a cog in the machine makes you complicit in what the machine does. So, you know, it was a powerful speech that I might not have gone to college if I hadn't heard. So just throwing that out there.
It was really a good speech because it's been a very long time since I've seen it. Like, I probably haven't seen it since a few years after it came out, which is almost 20 years ago. There you go. Think about that one for a minute.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's really good and it's really powerful. And you go, yes, this is the butterfly effect in a crazy way. So, yeah, it was a really good speech.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people floating out other college movies in the chat room. Animal House, PCU. I don't know if Old School was mentioned. These are all ones we considered. Dead Men on Campus was one I threw out there. I love that movie.
Sorority Boys.
Sorority Boys was the one we were going to do. But
yes, don't mind me. Okay, let's see my next one. Okay, I love how he cares, but he doesn't care about his work because it's just so easy for him. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's like, no, you're not living up to your potential. I'm like, it takes him 5 minutes to do what it's taking you people years to do. He doesn't care if he burns the paper. He'll do it again. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked at you
he has it up here.
Yeah, it was like, you're a toddler, basically. Why can't you figure this out? You're smart. And doesn't want to explain it. And it's just crazy, like, how... I mean, that's sort of how life is. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's good at their one or two things. You have what comes to you naturally. Like, I don't shut up. So that just comes to me. I just talk. Bill, crazy smart editing guy and computers and like, well, he's got everything. I can't function. But like, this guy just, he didn't understand why people weren't getting it because it was just something that came to him. Mm-hmm. And that was really neat. I don't know. I think it's fun. Like, to him, he wasn't wasting his potential. He was just living his life. And this was just a side note.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in a lot of ways, the fact that he was so much smarter than everyone else around him functioned as a bit of an excuse for him. Like, it was an excuse for him not to try harder and not to be better. Like, right. I mean, obviously he was very self-motivated and everything, but he knew that, and he knew he did it for the love of it. He didn't do it because there was no pressure for it.
And, I don't think he wanted the pressure. Mm-hmm. That's why he stuck with the Southeast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So the classic bar scene that we referenced earlier, the how do you like them apples scene, or in the Good Will Hunting 2 hunting season clip from James Silent Bob Strike Back, where they with the gun and stuff. If you guys have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was kind of interesting in comparison to some conversations he has with Dr. McGuire later on. Mm-hmm. So there's this jerk in the bar, and he comes up to Minnie Driver or Ben Affleck when he's hitting on Minnie Driver. And kind of calls Ben Affleck out on, I forget the character's name.
I don't know.
His name's Ben Affleck.
Yeah, his name is Ben Affleck. I don't ever, most of the characters, I just wrote the actor's name because I was like.
Yeah, but he's hitting on Minnie Driver, who's a college student, by pretending to be a college student.
Yeah.
And this guy comes out and calls him out on it, and he starts like quoting like a disestablishmentarianism and all that kind of stuff. And Will expresses, Will steps in and he expresses that dweeb is unoriginal because he's read a lot but can't come up with his own original ideas or thoughts. He's just kind of regurgitating what he's heard in the books. And then Dr. McGuire, when he starts interacting with Will later on, brings up a similar point. He says that all Will has ever done is read, and he's never experienced the world. But I think both points are valid, and I think the kind of point they were trying to make was that in order to achieve true originality, one has to synthesize everything they know, both in book learning terms and in life experience. I think Will was projecting his own insecurities onto the bar guy, and that McGuire helped him identify them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took away from it. I mean,
I like it.
I'd love to hear anyone else's opinions too in the chat room for sure.
Interesting. They're still baffled at the fact that you almost went to their. Oh, look, I skipped a point.
You did. Do you have your notebook over there?
I do. I thought we only had three. Okay. Here, I'll do the point that I have there, and then I'll do a quick bits for the last one. All right, let's see. When the professor, oh, yes, this. Okay, so when whatever the professor dude's name is and Sean are discussing all the opportunities for Will and the discussion of...
Lambeau's.
Yeah, Lambeau, that guy. Mm-hmm. Of direction versus manipulation, I loved that. Mm-hmm. I loved the idea of the direction versus the manipulation, and I think it's very similar to nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, how much should you be involved in the molding of another person?
Yeah.
Like, basically, how much do you just give them the stuff and let them figure it out? And how much do you go, no, no, go over here, children. Do this. Mm-hmm. Try this. Like, as parent, it's very much that sort of a struggle, whether it's direction or manipulation. And how much do you listen to them? And how much do you listen to yourself? And how much do you listen to all ghosts past? So it's, I loved that whole idea and thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you could definitely make the argument that the conflict between the philosophies of Lambeau and McGuire is kind of like the major conflict of the movie.
Right.
And it's what's kind of pulling Will in two different directions.
Right.
But yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah, good times.
And you know, there's a lot of talk about excuses in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
A big theme in the movie is that the two main characters, Will and Dr. Sean McGuire, as played by Robin Williams,
yes,
are making excuses in order to cause them to stagnate and stop growing,
right,
as people. Will runs with a blue collar anti-intellectual crowd. It's comfy and safe as long as they don't know exactly how smart he really is. Like we said, you know, Ben Affleck has an inkling, and I think he probably talks to the other two guys about it towards the end of the movie when they're giving him the car for the new job and everything like that. They seem to have a bit more of an inkling than they did before.
Yeah.
But then Sean McGuire, which is
it's
so weird.
It's really
to say.
Weird that his name is Sean McGuire.
Yeah, because on Once Upon a Time, there's an actor named Sean McGuire. Okay. he stopped trying to improve first when him and Dr. Lambeau fell out back in the day, and then completely just checked out when his wife died. And you know, I think that's why what Will said to him in the first interaction they had together kind of stuck with him, because he was like, okay, this kid has my number.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire the entire relationship between McGuire and Will is this game of push and pull, with both of them trying to push each other towards the edge until they have no choice but to change and
right.
grow and get on with their lives, you know, to take a risk.
Yeah.
So I think the message I took away from it is that in order to do great things, we have to take risk.
Yes.
We must be willing to fail if we want to succeed. Mm-hmm. By the end of their sessions, both Will and McGuire decide to start trying, which I think is really good. That really kind of hit home with me.
Yeah.
I'm on teetering on the edge of like a kind of a career change and stuff like
yes.
that. Is the risk worth it? Because right now I'm comfy, I'm good. I have the full time job and everything like that. I'm comfy and I can just kind of coast through.
Yeah.
Or should I take a risk and try for something better? So it definitely resonated with me in a big, big way.
Yep.
So.
They're still throwing around some more movies. There was discussion of Legally Blonde and Rules of Attraction.
That's a good one.
Which we actually talked about doing Rules of Attraction, but we figured it might be a little more intense than our audience typically is.
Yeah.
Or than we try to make these.
The Fred Savage scene alone.
It's been years. But yeah, both very, very good movies.
Definitely.
Love Legally Blonde. Not, however, the musical. That's just Bad News Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess I have to do some quick
picks.
Okay, let's see what I got. Holy Boston. No one.
I loved I believe I heard Sufjan Stevens in the soundtrack. I love his music.
Let's see. I thought it was weird that he told his friends he was fired when really he's the one who just sort of walked away after solving a theorem. freaking Dunkin' Donuts. Like, I know you pointed out Pete's Coffee,
yeah,
but
there was like a big close up on Pete's Coffee.
Pete's Coffee, there was Dunkin' Donuts all over the place. However, Will torturing the therapist was hilarious. You are getting sleepy.
I thought sometimes the dialogue kind of leaned into a bit like, oh, this is what I imagine it sounds like when smart people are talking amongst themselves. Like, it kind of rode that line to where it sounded like intelligent conversation or like someone's cover of an intelligent conversation.
Right. Meeting number three, no talking for 1 hour.
Oh, I Hope brings up another college movie, Monsters University.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Definitely.
It's a good movie. I like it.
Okay, so Anne Marie, does it pass the Wonder Test?
Totes. I'm watching that one again. I like that guy. We'll keep him around.
You like the Good Will Hunting?
I like the Good Will Hunting. Yep.
Excellent.
Absolutely. You?
Oh, as for me, yes. It's a fantastic movie that touched my life when I was younger, as I discussed.
Years.
Then spoke to me in a whole different way when I watched it today.
We discussed.
And it made me think differently about something happening in my own life right now. So, I mean, what more can you want from a movie? You know, to kind of hit you in a completely different way, but in an equally powerful way at two different points in your life, you know, separated by 15 years or something like that. So, yeah, I think Good Will Hunting passed the Wonder Box test.
Oh, that one. The Soul Man from the 80s with the dude in the blackface. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, they were talking about it. It was funny.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
So yeah, continue.
Okay, so let's see.
As you were, sir.
Well, now we're going to open up the memory box, and we're going to share with you some of our past with you before getting to our guest. First, Anne-Marie is going to show you some old college memories. Then we'll watch a fast-paced compilation of my old college projects. We'll do a little bit of an idiot box over top of it,
too. Kind of, sort of, yeah.
So, Anne-Marie, why don't you take it away with some of your tchotchkes there?
All right. Don't judge my tchotchkes.
I'm not judging.
The fact that I've been out of college for quite a while and I still have an excessive amount of them. All right. Step one, my West Liberty State College mug.
Yes.
This was actually my mother's from when she was teaching there. And I stole it when I went to college. And this is where I made my ramen. This was my lifeblood, was this mug.
Yeah, you might actually recognize that from some of the live podcasts we did last fall.
Right. We drank from it all the time. And then we broke it, I think. Or why did we stop using him?
I think because it almost broke and we were like, you know what?
We're going to put this away.
Yeah, we're going to put it away.
So he lives in the china cabinet now. Then you may have noticed some letters all over the place.
Yes, because Anne-Marie was in a sorority.
I am in a sorority. It never goes away. So I am a Chi Omega. Shocking, I know. Some people have a problem thinking of me as a sorority girl. Sorority girls are not just one thing. We are not all... Pretty much 0% of my sorority was that girl.
Make sure you mention you were also a cheerleader, too.
I was a cheerleader in high school.
A cheerleader and a sorority girl.
Yeah. I like pigtails. No. So that was that. When you are going through your new member period or pledging, you get all sorts of stuff sort of just like to welcome you. And this was one of the first things I got. It's a bottle covered and decorated for like my pledge class. And this, actually the girl who gave this to me, Tia, is still one of my best friends and she's pretty awesome. So I just,
you were just talking with her on Twitter today.
I was talking with her on Twitter, talked with her on Facebook, talked to her all the time. So I love this. This is probably one of my favorite things and I've taken very good care of it because now it has moved a bazillion times. So there's that guy. Then if you're not in, you know, the life, you may not know. So you have bigs and littles. Which are sort of, you know, your big sister, your little sister, blah, blah, blah. Again, we get presents. We like to give and get presents, people. So my big Kelly, like you always get a paddle, which is somewhere in storage. But most of the time you get a stool, too. And this is the one that she decorated for me, little Amory, big Kelly. And our colors were cardinal and straw or, you know, red and yellow. So that's why that's all decorated in that.
Oh, Angel says that she thinks the whole sorority thing is mostly the stereotype from movies and TVs. Her sister was in a sorority, and it was a very academically based one.
A lot of them actually are. You have to hold a pretty high GPA to stay current and active. And, I mean, it's all reported back to nationals.
Yeah.
It also depends on your campus. Sometimes they set different precedents like that. This is my badge. I don't know how close I'm going to need to get, so just tell me when it's pretty.
That's pretty good.
Okay. So that was my official badge when I got inducted. And this is my little dangle for Nu Theta, which is what my chapter was. I would put it on now, but I'm not dressed to pin, and that would be wrong. things that stick with you. And it goes in my little cardinal and straw bag. Let's see. Also, my aunt was a Chi Omega. My aunt that lives down here, we bond over this. Like, she went to the same campus where we went. And so that was one of the, like, that's how I picked my sorority, actually, because there were two or three others. And there was never a question. I actually almost didn't care who any of the people were when I met them. I knew I was going to be a Chi Omega because I was basically a legacy, which is if your mother or sister are in the sorority ahead of you. But then I have three bazillion t-shirts here that I'd like to share a few of them with you.
Three bazillion?
Pretty darn close, yeah.
That's a lot of t-shirts.
This is just a selection of my Chi Omega and West Liberty t-shirts that I still have over 10 years after leaving campus. Okay. Where's one of my favorites? Throw them all in the book. This is a special one. I got this one made, and there's actually, I have a second one that says Chi Omega and has mommy. My mom came down for homecoming 1 year, and so I got us matching shirts. It was fun. I was in Alpha Psi as well, Hope.
Yeah, Hope's mentioning Alpha Psi Omega,
which is the theater fraternity, and I have very many things that I won't say.
I wasn't in it because I got about halfway through the pledging process, and then I was like, I don't feel like doing this.
I resisted until my very last semester because I thought it was stupid. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. And then they treated me like a fragile little crystal because they didn't want me to get angry.
I did know a bunch of frat guys, though. Fraternity guys who would try and like take me to like fraternity parties and things like that, and tried to convert me into a frat guy. I never bought it.
You didn't really fit in with any of them, no. But you were friends with a lot of them.
Oh yeah, I was
like
friends
Nourish and Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right. I'm just calling people out tonight.
Yeah, I was friends with a ton. Drunk Jake.
Jake. Oh, that's not school. Oh, no, I'm coming. I got this.
Yeah, Michael says, I don't get sororities or fraternities. I walk by them every day on the way to class. Feels like I'm in a different world.
We are a whole different world, but we're friendly.
Let's start a storyteller's fraternity.
Where's my pledge shirt? Oh, this is the first one. This is my pledge shirt, which they gave us when we accepted our bids. This is, hey, leave me alone. Don't judge me. Okay, and then the last one I'll share is completely unrelated. And this is like the only thing I have from Cleveland State. And I think my dad gave it to me. I was awful. I was only there a year and a half. So, yeah, I have a lot of, I have so much more stuff. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yes. Oh. You're like, what's this?
I don't even remember what
what's that this?
Is.
What's this? There's did something by my chair.
So, I know I actually have more stuff in the house. I just couldn't find it all.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's actually wearing one of my, Judge Keys. Yes. My shirt, for a couple of our shows at West Lib, we got shirts made, or we made shirts, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of like an iron-on sort of
thing. So...
Yeah, because I have a t-shirt around somewhere from the radio station at West Liberty that says WGLZ on it that I wear all the time, but we couldn't find it tonight.
Oh, Hope, you pointed out that you thought it was weird that... It was a theater fraternity for Alpha Psi Omega. I was actually in a fraternity. It wasn't a sorority. The reason Chi Omega was a fraternity and not a sorority is that one of our founders was a man. So that made it a fraternity. So there's your little info for the day.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and play this reel here. Amory, if you want to go ahead and come around. Here, I'll take the camera off you. No, but if you guys all know, in my day job, I'm a video producer. That all started in college. I went through the broadcasting program at West Liberty, and we did a bunch of different like mini movies and short films and television productions and all sorts of stuff.
I'm struggling.
So, you know, I had a ton of this stuff laying around. I went and cut out just like 5 minutes of it, of like the worst possible stuff.
Hello.
And we're going to go ahead and watch it Idiot Box style here right now. So, I guess it's three projects, basically, about a minute, minute and a half from each. So we'll go ahead and do that right now. Yes, this was from a horror movie called Jack's Back that they kind of planned to do while I was out for one day, and then it ruined friendships. But I got to play a ghost, a scary, scary ghost.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Yeah, and the makeup was bad too. Yes. I kind of like this shot though.
I'm pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, we did some fun special effects stuff and everything.
What is wrong with Milby's acting?
Creepy whisper in the air. Milby was angry because people were weird. Yeah, and then this was a short film I did called An Ideal World. It was kind of a takeoff on the Twilight Zone. Kind of like that Burgess Meredith episode. That was kind of my inspiration. Go to sleep, Tim.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, this is Tim Delroy.
Of course it's Tim Delroy.
You wake up in
an ideal world.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty chintzy. Pretty cheesy.
Cut out, Wesley.
Here's another special effect. Yeah, this was my apartment, actually.
Oh.
You know, shut the door and then open the door and he's all dressed.
Yeah.
And then we went to downtown Wheeling and shot all of this stuff. All of the me running around and everything. Actually, my little brother Jacob was on camera.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he was doing the camera based on my instructions.
That's impressive.
Not too many people out today. Oh, well, more room on the bus.
Yeah, and I was trying to do like a very lame, like 50s-ish kind of acting.
Okay, so what gives?
And this was right across from the broadcasting room.
What's going on? So weird. I haven't seen anyone since I left the house this morning.
And how'd you get on the bus?
This has got to be the weirdest day.
I ended up running there.
Got it.
After I waited for the bus for 10 minutes, I cut that part out.
The county. Where are you at?
Where are you at?
I know this is a practical joke. It has to be. Everyone just can't have disappeared.
Yes, they can.
Please, someone, buddy. How?
Buddy.
How? And this is really bad. I was trying to, like, early signs of a heart attack.
We just want everyone back.
Hello. Hello.
And then he dies. I'm not sure what moral message I was trying to convey here, really. He runs around trying to find people. Yeah, I know.
Look at all the hair.
And then that's actually my little brother Jacob.
Are you all right?
Then he comes up and kicks my head.
That's about right.
Consider again one Tim Delroy, a man who embraced solidarity. But no man is a creature unto himself. No man is an island.
And then this is one we chopped down pretty well. This was our final for TV production one. Hello. We did a children's show starring somebody who had been convicted for a crime. And this was like his...
Where could that mangy beaver have gone?
This was his community service.
Hello, Lester.
And I played the beaver here.
Sorry I didn't hear you. I was getting something ready to show you and all your little friends today.
Beaver.
So what did you want to show me, beaver?
Well, Lester, this week I went to Liberty Grocery to visit my old pal, Terry. He showed me what he does at the store, and now I'm going to show you and your friends.
Oh, that's great, Beaver.
Yeah, and this is Justin McConaughey, who was our friend in theater.
You ready to show it?
He played Lester Applebottom.
Let me check real quick.
Okay.
One second.
Yeah, and we go through here and we go to the one store that was in West Liberty, because it was a very isolated college, and you could only go to this store.
Hey, kids, we're at Liberty Grocery. We're going to figure out how things work around here, okay?
Okay.
What do you sell here, mostly?
We sell a lot of pepperoni rolls, which are the bomb, and a lot of adult beverages as well as adult cigars, I guess, if you know what I'm saying. This is an example of one of those.
I don't know what he's
blunts,
talking about.
If you will. No, all right, Beaver, you can have that.
Are those condoms I see?
All right, these are condoms over here. As you can see, we've got several different kinds.
It was college.
My personal favorite being the colors and scents, because I'm some kind of freaky deaky fool. Also, there's
yeah. This was my good friend Terry.
It's a good thing to use a condom while
he legitimately hated me.
Do you have cool stuff for kids?
Got something in my pocket. My other pocket, apparently. Right here we got this Zippo butane fuel. It's a big thing with kids 8 to 12 years old.
Apparently, I miss that beaver
pyro
puppet.
Stage of life. Also, we've got this here, a Bengay, and that's always fun for kids because, you know, it says gay. They think it's funny. It's kind of funny to 13-year-olds. What's really effective with this gun here is you put some of the Zippo lighter fluid on the caps, and then when you pull the trigger, it shoots fire out and burns your hand. That's nice, too.
What are your responsibilities?
Newster, I like that. How about only wanting certain people back instead of everybody?
Blunts.
I like that.
And also, I prepare for the nuclear holocaust every night.
It's like a sleazy
definitely some unique stuff there out of West Liberty State College. Thank you guys for... dealing with that. And also, I will just say that if you Google... those three projects, you can probably find the full thing somewhere.
I'm sure.
But
I don't know.
And Angel T, yes, Bengay does definitely smell horrible.
Absolutely.
And Liz says, this is weird. I completely agree.
It was awful. That's the most I think I've ever voluntarily watched of Lester Applebottom, because Lester Applebottom scares me and I know everyone involved.
Yeah, Lester Applebottom is probably the most offensive thing I've ever done, ever.
It's awful.
Ever. And we actually, it broadcast on the local cable.
Seriously?
Yeah, because the TV station at the college broadcast across the county, across Ohio County on local cable. So that went out to people at like 4:30 in the afternoon. And it's way worse than you guys even know. If you go search for the thing, if you want to watch the whole thing, I wouldn't recommend it. Okay, well, we're about to get into our phone box here to talk. some more Westlib stuff with our old friend JG. But first, we wanted to tell you a little bit about our Patreon. Anne-Marie, why don't you tell them about that?
Hey, we have a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/universebox, you can help support our podcasts, which we have 3 weekly podcasts.
Three.
Universe Box, Greetings from Storybrooke, and Legends of Gotham. The other two will be really kicking into high gear here in about a month the shows come back. But to keep upping our quality and the quantity of our content, we really do need your assistance through things like our Patreon or through YouTube, where there's a support this channel button.
Mm-hmm.
At Patreon, you can start by making a monthly donation starting at 10 cents, which really, look in your couch, you got it. And we have all sorts of rewards like free books, exclusive content, we'll write you letters, we'll sing you a song. And
yeah, and we're going to get some merch in there before the fan cast.
I'm working on it. It's kids just got to school. But we have hit our third goal, which means we have patron exclusive bi-weekly commentaries coming out. And the first one was Goonies, which just went out last week.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to do another one this weekend.
Okay. Yeah. And just to be fair, because we had a couple of you guys over.
Yes.
You mentioned that you weren't sure how to get the Goonies commentary. What you do is you come to the Patreon page, click on All Posts, and then you'll be able to download it right here on the Universe Box commentary number 1. See the little paperclip there? That means there's an attachment, and you can download it there. We will put those out on a feed eventually. I might try and figure out a way to do like a secret feed for you guys.
A secret feed, yeah. So. But our next milestone is to start our Lost podcast, which we know we have a lot of fans. Yes, Michael Lucera, we know.
called We're So Lost.
It's called We're So Lost, and it's hilarious because we don't really know Lost. We're watching it for the first time, and we're bringing a whole different perspective, and we'd really like to get to do that, but it takes time, and time is money, and money is the patreon.com/universebox. So please donate today.
Today, patreon.com/universebox, and we want to thank our 31 patrons who are currently giving us a $2.01 a month. Very much helpful. And Anne-Marie's frozen. Not really, though. Not really. No, but okay. So I guess it's about time here. Now, folks in the chat room, keep in mind, this is a very long conversation, but I think you'll find
it's a really
very
good conversation.
Yeah. Very entertaining, very enlightening about our past and everything. Like, this feels like it's going to be like the theater episode or the home episode, where it's a lot about, you get to learn a lot about us, which is always kind of fun. But we sat down yesterday with my old college roommate, Jason George, to reminisce in, by the way, you guys requested him. To reminisce about all the years we spent at West Liberty State College in West Virginia, which we've
just now West Liberty University.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But if you're watching live, come chat with us in the chat room. Like we said, there might be some exclusive clarifying some stories. And then come back for more, because we have more after this. Yeah, it's going to be a super jam-packed episode. So take it away, past Anne-Marie and Bill. And JG.
Universe Boxio.
Thank you, future Anne-Marie and Bill. We're here in the past, and we're here to talk West Liberty State College, our time at West Liberty State College.
This
with my college roommate, the man, the myth, the legend, Jason George. How you doing, JG?
I'm well. How's everybody tonight?
We're good.
Yeah, we were just doing a little bit of a warm-up talk and everything. We were talking a little bit about old college buddies, old college friends, people we haven't seen in years. But why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit of how did you land at West Liberty State College? Because, I mean, we all got there.
Everybody's got a story.
Circuitous paths, but how did you get there?
It's pretty simple, really. They were one of the cheapest schools around, and they offered me more financial aid money than my first choice.
What was your first choice?
Fairmont State College.
Gotcha.
Which incidentally, both of them are now universities.
Yes.
So well, of course,
now West Liberty University.
Yeah.
And Fairmont State University. So I was going to go to Fairmont State, but West Liberty offered me a little bit more money, and I was like, well, you know what? I think that's where I'm going to go, and that's what I did.
Nice. So how was like your first week on the Hill? Because West Lib, if we've never explained before, it's a college like way out in the boonies.
It's in the middle. Like, it's literally the top of a hill. We are they were the hilltoppers.
Yeah.
Because it was 15 minutes to a stoplight. Mm-hmm. Like you're stuck. If you don't have a car, you're not going anywhere. Good luck when your parents drop you off.
It's like you drive to one of the biggest small towns in West Virginia, Wheeling, and then you just go and drive out through the trees for like half an hour. And you end up at West Liberty. So yes. What was it like your first like few days, week like there?
kind of weird because, well, first of all, I was kind of lucky because a very good friend of mine from my senior year of high school was also going to West Liberty, and we decided to be roommates together the first year. Mm-hmm. We had a pretty good time. Interesting guy. He was vegan, and he cooked all of his food in the dorm.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of interesting, except for that time, of course, over Thanksgiving break when he forgot a bag of potatoes in our closet, and we couldn't figure out what smelled so bad when we got back. But it was kind of interesting because I was really, really nervous about going to college. So luckily, I got to room with my friend Wes. He was a great guy. Mm-hmm. But I remember we were there for the freshman orientation, and it was kind of like it is in high school where, you know, the freshmen show up a day or two before the upperclassmen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as I'm there, I'm kind of just like walking around the campus. I'm just trying to figure things out. But as I'm walking by the main hall academic building, because I'm kind of being antisocial, I'm not trying to like do like the three-legged race on the quad, okay? Because they've got this mixer going on, and they're playing all these, making the freshmen play stupid games, and I'm like, you know, I'm a grown man now, kind of. Like, if I don't want to do that, I'm just not going to do that.
Right.
Well, I get approached by the dean of students at the time, who's right outside the main hall. She goes, are you a freshman? I go, yeah. She goes, well, you're supposed to be over there with everybody else. I go, well, I don't want to be, so I'm just going to, like, walk around and look at the school.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean I can't do that? Like, this school costs money to come here. Like, I'm
a,
like,
customer.
Yeah, basically.
I'm almost 19 years old. What do you mean I can't just walk around the school? Mm. And she goes, no, everybody's over there. I said, well, no, I don't think that's where I'm going to go. I don't really feel like doing a three-legged race.
Yeah.
So I continue walking, and she says something about, like, having a bad attitude. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I just keep on walking. But It was really bizarre. And I remember, never forget one of the things I said to you when you moved to the dorm. You get this big dorm meeting, you know.
Right.
They say, oh, look around at all these people. 3/4 of them will not be here in 4 years. And It's 100% true.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There were people that I haven't seen since freshman year of college because they flunked out, drunked out, you know, whatever else.
Lost their financial
couldn't handle
aid
it.
Or all sorts of other reasons.
You couldn't handle the independence, Mm-hmm. You know, they got free and decided to drink until 4 o'clock in the afternoon and, you know, and sleep all day and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Any responsible college student only drinks till like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Not 4 o'clock in the
afternoon.
Yeah, what I meant to say was they slept till 4 o'clock in the afternoon after drinking all night.
Okay.
But we got you.
That's the point. You sleep on the weekends. You sleep on the weekends. You drink.
It's because there was nobody there on the weekends. Of course you sleep then. It's quiet.
That place was a ghost town on the weekends.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, it was there was bizarre. Like three people on every floor. That's about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because most people live close enough to go home.
Like within an hour or two, and I had waitings to get there. Well, you lived close though, too, right?
I lived about 50 miles from the campus, and I often had a girlfriend back home that also, you know, like I'd often go home on the weekends. But after that stuff was over a few years into my college experience, I never wanted to go home on the weekend because, you know, my friends and I were always getting into stuff. As Bill can, you know, account for.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. But, like, so I never really wanted to go home at that point. In fact, I remember it was different in college. Like, in college, beside that first year, other than the first year, whenever you return to college, like, my friends and I would have a countdown. Like, man, school starts in 2 weeks. It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
It's the opposite of when you're in high school and elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, we could not wait to go back. You know, like, we were like, oh, we're over the summer already. Like, it was kind of a flip-flop there.
I remember the year we spent the summer working at Brook Hills Playhouse, which is just a little bit of ways away from West Lib. Like, before school let out for that year, like, we were like, man, Brook Hills is coming. And then right at the end of the summer, like you said, we were like, finally, we're going to get back to West Lib and back to all of our friends and our parties and everything.
Where stuff makes sense.
Life makes sense in West Lib.
Where we're not rooming with raccoons and, you know, with the barn cats.
and free-range cats and everything else.
Oh, okay, so
incidentally,
go ahead, JD.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say, I haven't broken ties with that place yet. I'm actually still doing a show there currently. So,
I saw that.
You're reliving the magic over and over.
Yeah, you actually sent me some pictures the other day of where our trailer where we lived there out there has been torn down and it's no more. So sad.
Yep.
So sad. The crappy little trailer behind the theater.
Yeah.
I won't lie. Every time I hear Brook Hill stories, I go, thank God I didn't go out there that summer, because I was supposed to be out there that summer, and I decided not to.
but Anne-Marie, you would have had wonderful stories.
I'm sure I'd have had wonderful stories.
But,
who knows what may have changed.
The entire course of our lives would probably have been different, I'm sure. Okay, so Anne-Marie, why don't you tell us how you ended up at Westlib real quick?
Okay, so I graduated high school in Pennsylvania out in Lancaster County. Mm-hmm. And so I did, you know, the basic college tour of all the state colleges in Pennsylvania. And I was like, meh, these aren't really what I want. This isn't really what I was like, I'm going to go look at Westlib where my mom went. And she taught there and this and that. And it was kind of a family tradition. I went, I was like, this is what I was looking for in Pennsylvania. And even out of state, this is cheaper than any of the in-state Pennsylvania schools. I'm going there and done.
So how was your first few days, first week?
Let's see. They were, well, they're pretty crazy. I did participate in some of the stupid freshman orientation type stuff, but not
nerd.
I know. I am a nerd. I totally am a nerd. But then I did end up going out with other people. So, you know, you do your nerd stuff and then it hits like 7 o'clock and that's all over and you're like, all right. Who's got the alcohol? Yeah, it was like, because the only upperclassmen on campus were football players, basically. So, of course, you know, a bunch of freshman girls trolling the dorms, running into football players.
Yeah. You'll have it.
You'll have that. And for you, William?
For me, I ended up at Westlib after a failed attempt at UCLA. I went out there for a while, didn't work out, came back, and a couple months actually at Westlib was kind of unique in that it was during the summer session I was out at UCLA. I came back, kind of got my crap together and decided to go to Westlib. So I started in May, taking like two classes a day. Yeah, accelerated classes to get some basic stuff out of the way. And so it was basically like I was one of like five people living in the dorms.
Yeah.
So basically after noon, when all of the summer school classes let out, like I had complete reign of the campus, more or less.
Nice.
But I mainly just huddled up in my room with mac and cheese and watched South Park.
And you're people calling me a nerd.
But once the fall semester started, I it was weird because my financial aid was weird because of the summer classes. So I didn't actually get in until like the day after the semester started into the dorm and everything.
Yeah.
So I missed all that orientation stuff and everything. But I was wandering across campus one day and I ran into a guy I did a play with at a Towngate Theater in Wheeling named Sam Vernarsky.
Uh-huh. And we're name calling on this episode.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Sam doesn't exist on the internet, so it's fine. And he was like, hey man, what's up? You should come on. I'm going to down to my friend's dorm room. You should come down and hang out. And so he took me down to Beta Hall and takes me into this dorm room and
danger. Do not enter Beta.
And there's a bunch of freaks.
Hey, that was my dorm room.
Yeah. I was going to say there's a bunch of freaks from New Martinsville sitting there, including JG. because it was Terry's dorm room. It was you and Terry and Bachman and Jack, right? I think.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So it just came in there and I think went to lunch with these guys and then just started running around with them and the rest is history. And now we're here.
And here we are.
That's the entire story of my college experience.
And I remember Bill and I actually hit it off over a love of the band Bare Naked Ladies too.
Oh yeah. Bare Naked Ladies was kind of our in.
Nice.
Yeah. Because when Bill said that was like his favorite band, I was like, man, I've been like looking for someone for like 4 years to like that band as much as me, you know? Like,
yeah.
No, actually, If I remember correctly, I was wearing like the thumbs up shirt from the Maroon tour, and that's what got us talking about it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, that same day I was going back down into Curtis Hall where I was staying, and a guy we all know, John Hott, was coming out, and he saw the T-shirt,
yep.
and we became fast friends too because of the Bare Naked Ladies connection. But Emery, you have some questions?
I've got a whole series of questions. All right, well, we'll do a couple of Westlib really specific kind of ones. All right, it's noon on Wednesday. There's literally nothing going on. Where are you? What'd you do on Noon Hour. Anything fun?
Who are you addressing first?
I am addressing you.
Oh, okay. Well, it really just kind of varied. I was either at the college union or the cafeteria. Do you remember they had that thing in the chapel sometimes?
Yeah, speakeasy.
That's it, yeah. Like, if you were involved in theater, sometimes you'd, like, do a scene from a show.
Right.
And I remember they had really, really bad soup.
I never ate at the speakeasies, yeah.
Yeah, and neither did I. Cause
bad soup.
And but we would always, like, perform a scene from that there. Either that or I was in the dorm. Or if it was my last or next to last year there, I believe that I might have just been getting out of bed because I didn't have a class till 1 o'clock that day.
Nice. Oh, well, that's beautiful.
I know there was at least one semester where I set it up to where I didn't have a class before lunch, like, ever, like,
oh
the entire week.
Right.
I was just happy if I didn't have an 8 o'clock class. I always got stuck in these, like, random 8 o'clock classes, and I had that stupid radio production class, and I had, like, the 7 a.m. on Monday shift. I'm like, how? I'm like, why do you hate the theater kids, radio people? Why do I have to do this?
Yeah, we were actually in that class together.
Yes, we were. You were in the accepted group, and I was in the theater we hate you group. Yeah, I was one of those. They hated the theater kids.
I straddled the line between broadcasting and theater. Like, I was kind of running around with both crews.
Well, it was dumb, because if you were a theater major, you had to take all these comm courses. I'm like, I don't care about the comm courses. Just put me on a stage. Like, it didn't make any sense to do all the radio and video and really even media ethics and all that type of stuff. I was like, just teach me some history or some English, you know, make me do that. It makes more sense.
I know for me, as far as Noon on Wednesdays, like, I won't name names.
Uh-oh.
But this
is the one time you won't name names?
But JG will know who I'm talking about. We had a friend who had an apartment down in the bottom of Boyd.
Yes.
And
oh my God, yeah.
It was kind of like, if I didn't have a class going on, but there wasn't enough time to, like, go back and take a nap in my dorm room, I would be at this guy's apartment just, like, hanging out, partying, whatever.
At noon on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Y'all people are crazy.
Yeah. So you know, I would just dip down to that apartment because it was right off the quad, and you just, like, walk back behind the dorm. And
I know. I lived in that building.
Yeah, yeah.
I lived in that building because that was also the sorority building.
I was there sometimes.
At least part of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, many times, Noon on Wednesday. I'm sure that at least 2 dozen times me and you were down there Noon on Wednesday, if he was up.
Yeah, right. Because he was one of those guys. Well, I think he was in school for like 12 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration at all.
There was a lot of people.
Yeah, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was bad.
Well, you know, some people just, like, really loved the Westliv experience and became professional Westlivers for a while, you know?
It was pretty great. I will say that. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
But not 12 years worth.
So, JG, you know, everyone has that first big moment where they're like, okay, I'm really here. I'm really in college. This feels like, you know, stereotypical movie college. Did you ever have any of those kind of moments? Like, what was your first big college moment?
Okay. This is kind of I'm going to try to break this story down into the smallest nutshells I possibly can.
Okay.
Freshman year, I lived in the freshman dorm. Right next door to me were two guys from my hometown that were actually sophomores. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they lived in the freshman dorm is just because they were just too, like, drunk, too stoned, too lazy to get to the office on time to sign up for upperclassmen dorms, okay? Mm-hmm. These two dudes were nuts. Crazy nuts. And as everyone knows, in the freshman dorm at the time, you had the community bathroom. So if you had to pee, you had to go down the hall to pee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? We're laying in bed one night. We're asleep. Everybody on the floor gets awoken at around 1 a.m., okay, or 2 a.m. There are these two guys outside. They're just being very, very loud and screaming and everything else. Because one of them, okay, his mouth was bleeding, and they didn't know why, okay? So in their drunken stupor, they thought that someone jumped him and hit him, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you come to find out the next morning that actually he fell down the step and hit his busted his mouth and knocked out his two front teeth.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay.
Now here's where it gets really, really interesting. As they're out there screaming and cussing, they're screaming, you know, come out of your rooms, freshmen. There's going to be hell to pay. Okay. And everybody's like, dude, they're freaking nuts. I don't think I really want to go out there. Well, I had a pretty good rapport with them, so it was no big deal.
Right.
But here's what happens. Okay. All of a sudden, they start, now keep in mind, right next door to me, and you guys know, in the dorm, you could hear anything right next door. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if it was loud, you knew what was going on. All of a sudden, you hear just chaos in their room. We're talking, you can hear glass breaking. You can hear things getting knocked down.
Oh, jeez.
We're talking, I mean, just nuts, okay? Mm-hmm. You hear a whole bunch of cans and bottles getting thrown and strewn everywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. And one of them is clearly doing it, and he's like growling like a dinosaur. He's like, ah! Okay? And the other one, you hear him saying, just over and over, just tear it up, dude. Nobody cares. Tear it up, dude. Nobody cares. And we're just like, jeez. You're like, okay, so here's where it gets really, really weird, okay? Uh-huh. I finally can't take it anymore. I have to pee. So I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Now, keep in mind, they said that if anybody came out of their room, they would kick their butts and all this stuff.
Right,
well, yeah. When they see me, they're like, dude, JJ, someone tore up our room, man. And I just listened to them destroy their own room.
Right.
Okay? So I look inside and I'm like, oh my God, their television was destroyed. They threw a lava lamp across the room and smashed it. Their bunk beds were knocked over.
Oh,
they had bottles and cans strewn everywhere. It was a mess, okay?
Wow.
Well, it gets so bad that the cops come up, all right? The cops are like, oh, boys, what's going on here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that, well, you know, the jig is up. You know, we're going to have to come clean about this. Well, they don't. They're just like, oh, my God, somebody trashed our room. There's going to be hell to pay. So they go into this whole screamy thing about there's going to be hell to pay like they were before.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. The cops are like, okay, well, we'll fill out a report on that. But what about all these beer bottles and cans at the dry campus? And then it's quiet for a second. And then you hear, what if these freshmen framed us? and my roommate Wes and I are like sitting there. It's like, it's 2 a.m. We were asleep, but we're just too entertained. And we're like, this is the craziest thing we've ever seen. And at that point, I knew I'm in college now, by God. Like, this is not Kansas anymore. And when I wake, here's how I wake up the next morning. Okay. Here's the epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
They had apparently forgotten the events of the night before.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, I walk out to go to the community bathroom. The one that was doing all the tearing up stuff is just pacing the hallway and wearing nothing but whitey tighties that are too big for him that he has to hold up. Okay. Bizarre. Okay. Then as I'm about to just get my books to go to class, I hear an alarm clock go off next door. Mm-hmm. The other guy wakes up. Now keep in mind, this was the guy that fell down the steps and busted out his two front teeth. And the first thing I hear that morning is, ah, oh, there's no teeth in my face.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And that was the day that I knew that I'd made it to college.
Wow.
And I apologize for that lengthy story and also how bizarre it all is, because it almost sounded like stream of consciousness, like I was just saying stuff.
Yeah.
But everything I just said actually happened, and there are 25 witnesses.
That is fantastic.
They're out there.
Well, I think it was lived, there were like 25 of those. Every person had like 25 of those kind of stories, because it was just like,
it was insane.
I mean, for such a small campus,
mm-hmm. It was insane.
I think it was kind of like the isolation, a pretty healthy redneck population slash hippie population slash every other kind of population,
yeah,
just mixing together there. Like, crazy stuff happened. Crazy stuff.
Oh, very much
yes.
So.
Emery, do you have any first, like, big college moments?
Okay. When I moved in, I was still 17.
Mm-hmm.
So my 18th birthday was 2 weeks after we moved in, and it was also Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was coming to get me that Saturday or whatever to take me up, family Labor Day, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's my birthday. I got nothing to do. I can't go get anything. Nobody's here because it's a holiday weekend. And somehow me and one or two of my other friends end up down at Christ's Yes, mm-hmm. Christ. In the couple of guys' rooms that they knew from wherever they knew them from. And they had, because Christ had two rooms connected by a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So in one room, they had all four beds. In the other room was the party room, living room situation.
That was a common setup that until they kind of... crack down on it.
They did crack down on it like 2 years later.
That's
but...
the way ours was, if you remember, Bill.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
So we're down there, and I was a fairly lightweight when I went to college. I didn't really drink in high school. I mixed my mom her martinis, but I didn't really drink them.
Mm-hmm.
And so once they found out it was my birthday, basically I went to hell in a handbasket. How much natty ice can everyone drink, basically? I don't know what games we were playing. I just know we were playing all sorts of games. And then out comes the bottle of ice 101.
Mm.
Anne Marie's introduction to shots was her 18th birthday with ice 101. Like, we didn't even ease me into this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I probably had a good couple beers, a good couple of shots. And then, you know, you sit there and everything starts spinning. And you're like, this isn't good. I don't know where I don't really know what's happening.
Mm.
And, well, there you have it. Then, you know, a little birthday throw up, whatever, it happens.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And then I'm like, I'm so sorry. Let me clean this up. But I'm like trying to like... in my drunken stupor of not, I didn't know these people from a hole in the wall. And I'm like, let me clean this up. And took care of them. Walked me back to my dorm and got me tucked into bed. I'm like, I'm sorry. I was like, it's fine. It's fine. It's your birthday. Da-da-da-da-da. The next day, my mom comes and picks me up. And I'm like, shh, don't talk. She's like, takes me up to my aunt and uncle's house. Or they're having a party. And I'm like, sitting there trying not to throw up off of their patio. And my aunt looks at me and goes, what happened? I said, shots. She said, you won't do that again. Well, little did she know, yes, I did. But I got a little better about it. Don't do ice 101.
Yeah.
That is bad news bears.
Stay away from the ice 101.
That is bad. Any time that was involved in my college experience, nothing good came of it. So there.
Stay away from fire and ice as well. That's
fire and ice, Goldschlager, flaming Dr. Peppers. The list could go on. I may have.
Mad Dog.
Oh, I didn't really do Mad Dog. Yeah. I did bottles of Boone's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Strawberry daiquiri. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
As for me, I think, and you guys probably both even remember this specific year of it very well.
Oh, Lord.
But it was the first homecoming at Westland.
See, I missed half of that.
Basically, homecoming at West Lib, there'd be a big football game, and then it was the one day a year
you
could drink on campus. So alumni would come back, you know, there'd be a big, you know, tailgating party in the parking lot.
Right.
And I was part of the cast. I was part of the chorus in the Rocky Horror Show that we were doing for the theater. So I had to get up fairly early, probably 7 a.m. or something, to get down to the field and get to the theater and get all dressed up. And I think JG, you might have been involved in this because you were the stage manager on that show.
Yeah, I was there.
but to get out and do the time warp for people.
Were you guys in the parade? I was in the parade because I was going through my new member period.
I know we did a parade for Rocky Horror. I don't know if it was that parade, too.
I'm sure you did the homecoming.
I know
parade.
We did one at, like, Ogilby.
Oh,
like, there was a parade at Ogilby we were in.
Nice. Sorry. Continue.
We get there. We get to the show. Like, I'm all in the makeup and everything with the wig, and we do the time warp, and then I go and get changed and come back down. And I'm like... I'm still like really nervous because I'm under 21, so is campus security going to bust me for this or whatever? And then it becomes very apparent after I run into three or four different friends groups, including probably a lot of our friends, JG. Yeah.
I was there every year for that, you know. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, but there was no issue at all, and it was going to be just fine.
As long as you weren't completely obscenely crazy, you were fine.
So I had this big, like, like 44-ounce mug that I carried around, and I would just get beers from people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had just chugging all the way. And I ended up drinking with it with a teacher and stuff, and I was like, holy crap, I'm drinking with the teacher. I never thought this would happen, like,
yeah.
Especially like just a couple months into college. And then there were a couple different crazy things that this happened. Like, I ended up one of the girls who was in the play, like, ended up, like, we ended up taking this, like, really long walk to my dorm for batteries, and we walk into the dorm, into Curtis Hall, and there's, like, they've filled up the entire floor on the first floor, like, the entire hallway with shaving cream and toilet paper. Like, it's probably, like, 18 inches of shaving cream and toilet paper across the entire thing, and you can see where people have been sliding, and I don't know what's happened or anything.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, it was just like, I think, you know, the homecoming game stuff usually wrapped up, I think, around like two or three, and I ended up randomly going to homecoming that night.
Did you?
But I also remember taking like a big long nap, like probably like a 4-hour yeah. nap, and just one of those dead sleeps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that day as a whole was probably like my first big college moment, just the craziness of it and the partying and the socialization and the hanging out with teachers sometimes is almost friends, you know.
Yeah.
And plus I had to do a musical number, so I mean, you know, that's college all through and through.
Nice. I got stung by a bee on my lip while drinking a whiskey sour.
Ooh.
At like 8 or 9 in the morning, like way before the football game started.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be walked over to the ambulance that thankfully was already there for the football game to get a shot of Benadryl. Now I'm walking by these big, giant, like 300-pound football players who could, you know, bench press a bus. And they look at me and go, damn, girl, what happened to you? And I'm like, apparently my face was blown up like a balloon.
But you didn't feel a thing.
No, I felt it.
Oh, okay.
I felt it. And then they gave me a shot of Benadryl. I don't even know where. And I was like, I'm going back to the tailgate. I paid my money for my liquor. And made it to halftime. Somebody, I don't even know who, got me home and into bed. I was like, because I wanted to see if our candidate was crowned for homecoming. And that's the only reason I made it to halftime. And then I don't think I woke up until 6 or 7 that night. And that was like at noon. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to. Sorry, I'm going to sleep now.
Well,
it's crazy.
You know, we've talked a lot about the partying side of college. Maybe
yeah.
we should talk a little bit about the academic side.
All right, fine. Academics.
JG, what can you think of any, like, what was, like, did you have any, like, big, like, Dead Poets Society kind of awakening teachers or kind of moments like that?
I sort of, you know, I majored in English, and there were two teachers in particular that were kind of unorthodox, non-traditional types that were, one was in particular very, very funny. One of them, was the type of guy that liked me, but, like, always gave me a hard time,
mm-hmm.
you know? It was kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, when you have a good rapport with someone and they, like, give you a hard time,
yeah.
and I'll never forget what he said to me the day of my graduation,
mm-hmm.
When he shook my hand afterward. I don't know how far I should go with this, but basically, I'll put it to you this way. When he shook my hand, he said, something like this. So are you going to make us proud now as the editor of a particular magazine that people like maybe Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg have been on the cover of that is not Rolling Stone? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We know the magazine. McCall's.
Follow.
McCall's.
Okay. So I was just like, oh, okay, thanks. You know, like
right.
I found it funny, but then I walked away thinking, I was like, wait a minute, man. Is that really what you think of me? Like, you know, like, good job in your class, you know? Teachers like that, I know we've talked a lot about the theater director
yes.
before, and really, man, that guy really is awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say him, honestly.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even a theater major, because here's the deal. I met him when I was in high school because he actually judged me at a festival. And then when I got to West Liberty, he remembered the part I played even and spoke to me and, you know, said, hey, you know, come audition or whatever. And we still, to this day, you know, speak via social network. You know, like he wrote one of my three letters of reference in order to be a teacher in the county. Like he was one of the people that wrote my recommendation. When he found out that I was doing this play currently, you know, he gave me words of encouragement. You know, it's great to see you still involved. But, you know, it's got to be him, our theater director. He's amazing.
He was at great. Our
and
wedding.
I took class.
He was at our wedding because he was that person probably for me as well. Sort of turned me because I was an English major also, but I switched to being a theater major a lot because of
him. I'm like 9 hours from a theater minor because I kind of like whenever I needed hours to be full time and there was nothing else I needed, I would take a theater class. Bill and I had a playwriting class together, for goodness sake. You know, which was really cool, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I love that class. I just found some of my plays from that class when we were moving and everything.
Yeah, I've still got mine in the box in our garage. You know, nice. I wrote crap, but that's okay.
You know, but you wrote it.
Like, I wrote it. It's mine. No one can take it away from me, you know? But I remember, I even remember the one that I wrote that he liked the most, and it was about two people waiting in line for Journey tickets, and someone making fun of them because, like, you know, Journey was out then 20 years, like, you know, like, they weren't in when we were in college, you know, they were, you know, and I still even remember the notes he wrote on, like, I love this, because the Journey tickets could be anything. It could be a Remington rifle. It could be, you know, like, and I'm like, man, what an interesting dude, you know?
Yeah, one of those teachers that I always loved writing stuff for, like essays or plays or anything else like that, because he always had such interesting notes, and they made you kind of think about what you'd written in like a whole new way, too.
Well, all of his feedback on anything, because I didn't have a lot of the writing stuff, but I had more of the performance. And I remember I was probably intro to acting or something, and he's basically was like, why are you in here? Like, this isn't. Oh, he's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I kind of think I want to act now. And he completely started teaching me different and treating me different. And I could tell scoring everything I did harder because it pushed me to work harder. And, you know, that's what you really want in a teacher is someone who's actually going to push you and but motivate you at the same time.
Yeah. And
exactly.
He's definitely one of those guys, too, that just has sort of like a natural curiosity. Like you'd walk into class and you'd be wearing some weird t-shirt and he'd be like, oh, what about that t-shirt? Like, who's that? What's that?
Tell me about it. Yes.
You know, I loved it. JR. We'll call him.
Yes. We'll go with JR
for sure. Okay. Emery, did you have a,
love it.
Let's see. Do you have any regrets with West Lib?
Regrets.
Any classes you wish you'd have taken, experiences you wish you'd have done, things that you did that you really wish you could have taken back? Or is it all just a part of the experience which made you who you are?
Well, this is nothing personal against the person I was involved with, because she is actually a full friend of mine and a wonderful person who went through some rough spells. But if I could do it over again, I probably wouldn't have gone to college with a girlfriend.
Because
the girlfriend back home and but at the same time, though, it's kind of like the butterfly effect thing or whatever, you know, like the domino effect. Like maybe I wouldn't be where I am right now, you know, with the wife I have now and my son and my, you know, if I had gone to college as a single man. Okay. So, but it really did feel, you know, at the time it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
But when I look back on it, I'm like, man, that was very kind of like, it wasn't very liberating, you know, because, you know, sometimes these parties would get crazy, and sometimes even, this guy even gets this weird looking dude that I am even gets some weird, you know, or girl out of my league at the party all over me that I'm like, look, I got a girlfriend, you know.
Yeah.
And it happened a handful of times, and I'm like, now I look back, I'm like, man, I'm 19, 20. Like, I should have been like all over that, like white on rice, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what's wrong with you? And then I'm like, but I was also, like, you know, well, I got a girlfriend, and my friends were always amazed because, like, man, you were really, really drunk at that party, and you still were like, oh, I can't be here, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I know, I suck.
Yeah, it's
but that,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I wouldn't recommend that to younger listeners. If you're, but, you know, yeah. At the same time, I don't want, like, two high school sweethearts, you know, like, somebody listens to your podcast who's getting ready to go to college, like, like some jaded girl is like, that SOB on the podcast told my boyfriend to break up with me before he went to college. You know,
right.
Because, you know what, different strokes, different folks, man. I mean, you know, I know people that are like, have been together since seventh grade, you know, but
yeah, it's crazy.
For me, I feel like I might have missed out on some things, you know, that I, and some wild weekends that I wasn't there for,
right.
You know, because I always went home, you know, I was too busy living in the past and not living in the now. You know, so
yeah,
that was probably that, you know.
That's a big part of what college is, you know, is it's kind of embracing the next stage in your life. And, you know, if you have like remnants of your old life hanging around, it'd be kind of limiting sometimes.
Yeah.
What about you, Amory? Did you have any regrets? Regrets? I've had a few.
I actually think I'd have been a little bit more, I don't know, aggressive, open, not as quiet and timid, which I know it doesn't seem like I really am a quiet and timid person, but I was pretty, I still sheltered myself a little bit, and, you know, I may not have gone after a person that I wanted to go after, or, you know, gone out somewhere or gone to an audition or something like that. I know there were things that I should have done, could have done,
yeah,
but I just didn't because I have low self-esteem, so that really was a bit of an issue. I also had a really crappy roommate my first semester of college, so that probably caused some of that bad self-esteem that semester. But no, I just wish I'd have tried a few more different things, and maybe, you know, I had the sorority girls and I had the theater people, but maybe to have made a few more friends outside of that even would have been, you know, not a bad idea. You know, those were two very specific groups of people, and there were others there.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Bill, any regrets?
Yeah.
Did yours involve jungle juice too? Because I will regret that day forever.
At times. But probably my biggest regret. And again, you know, if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't be the person I am now, et cetera.
Which girl is it?
Well, there were girls involved, but
I bet I know.
I see JG like sitting in his chair, like raising his hand, bouncing up and down with that one.
You know, we won't get into the story. Yep. I'm just going to say one word, JG, and tell me if you were there, or you remember this Pegasus. Do you remember that? I guess so.
I'm going to guess so. Why?
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. Do I know this story?
No, you don't. I'll tell you about it off air.
A story I don't know?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it off air. It's not one for on the air.
This is not Universe Box appropriate.
There was a time in college. It was like a really hard semester for me. Like I had a bad breakup.
I remember that one.
Yeah, a bad breakup. My grandfather died. Some other stuff happened. I kind of had like a nervous breakdown, meltdown sort of thing, and completely abandoned. Like I had a really good part in Of Mice and Men. I dropped out of my directing class with Ryan. I failed an English class I was taking because I was doing an English minor at the time, and just completely kind of like screwed myself, I guess, for the theater major, or so I thought.
Yeah.
And I think it worked out okay because I ended up kind of refocusing, coming back, doing the broadcasting stuff, which has led me to my career now, you know, doing video production and everything. But I still kind of regret kind of completely just like
abandoning life that semester,
messing everything up, dyeing my hair black and letting it grow 8 inches out, you know, gaining 20
hair.
Pounds.
That hair was awful.
Lots of substance abuse.
He formed a band called My Chemical Romance.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but
Billy Way. Sorry, I'm being a jerk.
No, it's fine, man. It's
what we're
fine.
Here for.
And I think we were still rooming together that semester too, weren't we?
Oh, poor JG.
We were. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things were not. You were not happy. You know, but you know, that's we all have that stuff. You know, man. Like I'm not going to sit here and say the entire experience was always 100% awesome.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to have those ups and downs. You know, yeah. That's life. And hey, you know, it sounds cliche, but it's all a learning experience. You know.
Yep. So, and really, if you're going to have a crazy meltdown time, it might as well be in college because everybody's having a crazy meltdown time at some point. Pretty sure I did dye your hair black thing and go all partially emo. Definitely.
Well, I always when we were in college, I always used to quote the South Park guys. What was the line? There's a time and a place for everything, and that's college.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
right.
Sounds about right.
So, use college to get it out of your system. JG, do you remember that weird black mold we had in our shower in Beta?
You had the black mold?
Like, because
we had black mold.
Oh.
Yeah, our shower wouldn't
shut
off all the way.
I remember one time, Bill wasn't there, and my mother came up, and my mom like walked into our bathroom and was like, okay, you need to either move out of this room, or you need to do something about that mold, because that stuff can literally kill you.
Yeah.
Well, because it was in, what was that other dorm? The one way up all by itself on the opposite end of campus.
Oh, I know the one you're talking
Hughes
about.
Hall.
Hughes. Yeah, Hughes. They
Hughes
had the
Hall,
black mold,
the
too.
Dorm.
The what?
Right. The haunted dorm.
Oh, it's haunted? I didn't know.
Or so the legend goes. Oh. The third and fifth floors were allegedly haunted.
Oh.
But something I got to say about that black mold room, though, because Bill will remember this, too. And I remember because we both looked at each other like, huh? Like, we had this guy that lived, like, on the other side of us through the bathroom.
Yes.
But, like, on account of the black mold, he refused to shower there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one time he said to Bill and I quote, I just wash off in the sink. And Bill and I were like, what the hell does that mean?
Oh, that's gross.
You just don't shower? You just, like, throw it in there? What do you wash off in?
That guy was an odd dude, man. Like, he was very odd. Very odd. Like, I think I partied with him once or twice, but he was a very odd dude. Very odd dude.
Yeah, he was the guy that, like, whenever everybody get drunk, like in Ryan's room, like, Ryan had, like, the markers that were, like, you know, you could, like, see under black lights, but you couldn't see what the lights were on.
Uh-huh.
And people were, like, writing on the wall. The first time the guy ever came and hung out with us, he just drew, like, a giant, like, Dragon Ball Z character on the whole and Ryan's like, who the hell is this guy? I'm like, his name is XYZ, I don't want to say it, and he washes off in the sink.
Sink
like, kind of weird.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, but then maybe he had more sense than all of us because, you know, black mold or not, we were showering in there.
You know what? It's fine, though, because, I mean, it didn't do any, like, permanent damage to my respiratory system or anything. Excuse me.
Yeah, but you know what? We're going to see one of those commercials here in a couple years that's like, did you live in Beta Hall within the years of here, blah, 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 blah? If so, call technical law offices of blah, blah, blah. You know.
Yes. You'll be getting a settlement of $12.
Yeah, right.
I remember...
We're gonna own this dorm.
Before the mold got too bad in that bathroom, actually, I couldn't really even go home for, like, holidays a lot and stuff because I didn't have a great relationship with my parents. So I stayed in the dorm room over, I think it was Thanksgiving break, for, like, a week by myself. And they came through and did inspections on all the rooms. And I had to hide in that bathroom with the black mold problem for, like, an hour waiting because once I heard them, like, start doing the inspections on our floor, I just, like, kind of huddled up in the bathtub behind the shower curtain, like, hoping they wouldn't peek in there. And, yeah.
You were allowed to sign a form that you were staying.
They wouldn't let me do it.
Why?
I forget why. It was something about, like, I wasn't emancipated. It was the same reason I had issues with, like, my financial aid.
That's crazy because I stayed because I was working at Ogilvy.
I think it had to stay. I think it had to do with the fact that my parents' like home address that they had on file was in Wheeling too, so it was like right down the road.
That probably was it.
Yeah, so I think
mine was in Cleveland, so
too.
I was able to be like, hi, I work at Ogilvy, and they won't let me off for holidays. They chained me to this restaurant.
All right, guys, well, I think we've covered college pretty well. Do you have any other?
No. What we talked about was better than any of the questions I had.
But I mean, you know, you get us talking. We could do like a 4-hour episode just
on West Rib. We seriously
could. And then another after hours censored for patrons only one where we get into the story about Pegasus.
And I'll also actually tell you the exact magazine that the guy said to me on the day of my graduation as opposed to putting these really not so cryptic clues out there for you.
No, it was McCall's, right?
It was McCall's. Totally McCall's.
It was Red Book, man. I mean, you know.
Okay, so before throw back to future us, JGI, you have a Twitter presence now. Where can people find you on Twitter? And they bug you on Twitter to tweet more.
You can tweet me at J Jason George.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes too. But
absolutely,
as always, man, you're on here because our storytellers wanted you on here. They requested you during the planning session. So glad we were able to get you on and everything. And I guess we'll go ahead and throw it back to Anne Marie and Bill in the future. Take it away, guys.
What's
and
happening?
We're back.
Sorry, yawning.
Yes, we're back.
It's getting late.
Well, it was a very long video. But we're back. I did mean to play the little clip of us at West Liberty from the home episode.
Oh, but then you forgot.
But then I forgot, so we're not going to do that.
Good job.
I know, but yes, we're back. What are we doing now?
That's my part.
No, but I hope you guys enjoyed that long conversation with JG. Very entertaining, though.
Yes.
Very entertaining.
It was. I love listening to JG laugh at us and chuckle when he knows what's coming, but it's things that we can't speak of on air.
Yeah, and we got a lot of actually, Anne-Marie, do you want to read the story from Bobby in the chat room?
Okay. So when I was in high school, I left with some friends to quote-unquote a party we heard about. My friend left to get some beer and left me and one other guy there. We slowly realized we had been left at a 12-year-old's birthday party. My friend didn't come back to get us for 3 hours.
3 hours. That's pretty intense.
Insane.
Super intense. Okay, Anne-Marie, we have one more segment here, then the idea box and the feedback. Then we're out.
Okay.
Super long episode.
Bedtime. Okay.
Yeah, recipe box. What's up with recipe box?
Okay, so no one ever thinks of gourmet food when it comes to college, but my experiences were no exception. So here are some of my favorite recipes that you can make in the dorms. Okay, see, they may not all just be like food recipes. There's a lot of drinking recipes too. Okay, step one, jungle juice. You may have heard us speak about jungle juice. But like I said in the video, I lived a pretty sheltered life in high school, mostly of my own doing. So I knew nothing of all the fun drinks when I got to college. However, I quickly learned about jungle juice. This is one of the easiest and easy to adapt and change punches that you could ever make and will also knock you on your So for this, you need a cooler, a bag of ice, some cut up fruit, berries and melon are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
A bottle of Everclear. Don't ask Hope about it. A bottle of vodka and Hawaiian punch. At least this is how I make my jungle juice. I know there are lots and lots of regional variations in college to college. So step one, add the fruit to the cooler. Bloop. Step two, pour in Everclear and vodka. Step three, add in your Hawaiian punch to taste. And step four, add the ice to cool and hopefully water down the stinking beverage. It's best if you make it ahead of time so that the fruit has time to soak up all the alcohol. So usually around the last hour or 2 hours of the party, you would just see people standing around eating the fruit. This is the worst time to eat the fruit, people.
Mm-hmm.
It will kill you. Don't eat the fruit. Because Everclear is dangerous and scary,
yes,
and I believe it's illegal in some states. It is not just vodka. It is not, but I like to mix it with the vodka.
The vodka.
Okay, number two in the recipe box is Jello shots. Duh. It's another one of my favorites. This is also very easy, but much easier if you have a full-size fridge versus your dorm fridge, just because it makes a large quantity. Let's see. So you'll need Jello mix. I usually got the sugar-free. Water, alcohol, which I usually did vodka, and
also known as alcohol.
Alcohol, yes. Plastic shot glasses with lids. My preferred flavor is orange Jello with orange vodka. I actually think I won a bottle of orange vodka, like a gigantic bottle of orange vodka. So I think I drank it for a semester.
Yeah.
Including making at least one round of Jello shots. So this one is really, really easy. Follow the directions on the Jello, except when you get to adding the cold water, add the alcohol. And give that puppy a stir and stir and stir. And then you'll separate it out, put the lids on and freeze it or put it in the fridge. Like I said, I just do orange because it's nice and easy. There's so many different flavors of vodka now that you could literally do anything. But I know people have made margaritas with lime Jello, tequila and triple sec, which sounds absolutely divine. I think what you do is you just use lime vodka. Nope, not lime vodka. Lime Jello. And then, because it's usually like a cup of cold water. So you use 3/4 tequila and 1/4 triple sec. Yeah. And yes, you can still ice the, or not ice, salt. One beer. One beer. I can't speak.
I will say that Mike Lucero says that.
I haven't been looking to see if he wants
him and his wife at Jello Shots.
I want.
Dangerous.
Yes. I love them. Pumpkin spice Jello Shots. Yes, Bobby. I'm in on that. So once premiere party. Let's see. Hold on. Wait. Wrong.
I will also say that Hope says that a rice cooker saved her in college. It boils the water for pasta, could make rice, and had a raised part to steam veggies in.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
I feel like we weren't allowed to have things like that, or we didn't think that far ahead. But yes. So that's how you make Jello Shots.
Yeah, and we'll have all these recipes in the show notes at universebox.com.
Recipes. They really just throw stuff together and mix it up. Recipe number 3 is ramen mac and cheese.
Yes. Okay,
so this recipe combines two of the most common...
Bolo yummy.
Two most common college foods, ramen and mac and cheese. I really did probably live on this for my junior year when I learned about adding cheese to ramen. Before that, I just ate ramen because it was ramen. I knew no better. But then Helena?
Yes.
Helena?
Yeah.
I knew a Helena and a Helena. So I really just was like, hey, you. But I lived on this after she told me to add cheese to it. So you'll need ramen. And choose your favorite flavor, but I always choose some sort of variation of chicken. Cheese, shredded or sliced, works really good. I'm sure you could pull apart a string cheese if you needed to. Water and spicy mustard. So what I would do is I would crumble the ramen into your favorite mug. This guy. Cover it with just enough water to cook and heat it in the microwave for 1.5 to 2 minutes. Or until the noodles are cooked to what you like, because some people like really crunchy ramen. I, however, do not. It's the Italian in me. So then I drain almost all of the water, just still leave a little bit so that the seasonings can mix. Oh, yes. Before you put it in the microwave, add the seasoning packet. Mm. Some people do that after. I like to do it before so it's in the water and it soaks into the noodle. It soaks into the noodle. I learned that one in high school. So then after you drain most of the water up, give a big squirt of the spicy mustard and then add as much cheese as you like. Give that puppy a mix and there you go. And that's actually what I ate for dinner tonight because I remembered I had ramen. I was going to do a bonus. This was actually supposed to be...
Actually, you know what? I do have one little mac and cheese recipe I used to use. Because I didn't have access to a stove or any way to heat water or anything like that.
You didn't have a microwave?
Oh, I did have a microwave.
Yeah, heat water in a microwave.
But that wasn't good for it because it was right before they came out with Easy Mac. And I needed a way to make mac and cheese in the microwave. Gotcha. So what I would do is I would take a big bowl and I'd get just a box of macaroni and cheese, dump it in there, put in as much water as they said to you would need to boil it on the stove, cook it for 6.5 minutes, and then it would evaporate all the water. It would absorb into the macaroni and then put the cheese and like a ton of butter because I had like, you know, you can keep butter warm as long as it's covered. So I didn't have a fridge in my dorm. So I didn't have any melt or anything, so I would just put tons of butter in it, which probably why I have heart problems now.
It is probably why you have heart
problems. And then this bonus here?
The bonus, because this was supposed to be a video, but I got into a fight with the camera and it didn't want to record me. Chocolate peanut butter mug cake. So simple. No, I mean, it's some slightly random ingredients for a dorm, like, you know, flour. But if you just get a little thing of flour, sorry. But you can steal like sugar packets from the calf, honey. You can get milk. I'm sure they'll let you take a milk to go. And who doesn't have peanut butter? Chocolate chips. Yes, those are things we live on. And you can make a chocolate mug cake. So the recipe, like you said, is going to be in the show notes.
Yes, and that's delicious. It's the one from fiveheartathome.com.
Yeah, I just sort of picked one that I liked.
Yeah, but all sorts of little recipes there for your dorm. For your dormitory life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so next up we have the idea box, which is where you guys submit questions for us and, well, you guys in the chat room to answer. If you want to submit some ideas for us, some questions for us to talk about, all you have to do is go over to universebox.com/ideabox. There's a little form here. Type in your idea. I'm just going to type in.
Idea.
Yeah, if I can
normally type in.
And then click submit and boom, we have it to where we can discuss it with all of you. We have a few here tonight real quick. And just a few. And we'll go ahead and post these in the chat room so you guys can answer them too. First off,
What's the best class you ever took, Anne-Marie?
Intro to acting with Holly at Cleveland State.
Mm-hmm.
When I transferred schools from West Lib to Cleveland State, which I haven't talked about pretty much at all tonight.
Yeah.
My records didn't, West Lib didn't want to release my transcripts for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so my classes, I couldn't get credit for my classes towards my degree in Cleveland. So I had basically my entire first semester there, I had to retake classes I'd already taken.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take it. I took Intro to Acting again, and I took it with Holly Hulsinger, and Crazy Eyes is insane. I love her. She's amazing and very inspiring and motivating, but she'll tell you when you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell you when you suck. And that's what you need to hear as an actor.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Okay. Angel says, while it was a really intense class, my favorite class was the psychology of trauma class. And Bobby says, history of film or intro to film production.
Nice.
Angel also mentions that she also liked direct learning psychology class, where she was basically a TA with about 20 other students, nice. Which is always fun.
Sorry. I'm really sorry, guys. School started this week, so...
But let's see, my favorite class. You know what? I'm going to say I took a creative – it was probably like my third year at West Lib, I think.
Uh-huh.
I took a creative writing class with Miss Paulus.
I don't even know that name.
Yeah, and it was basically just like a short story prose class. Actually, if you guys know my Dog Boy books, I wrote the original –
No, nobody's ever heard of Dog Boy.
I wrote the original Dog Boy short story in that class along with a bunch of other ones. And it kind of like really ignited my love for writing and really kind of eventually led me to moving out to LA and everything, and you know that whole deal. So yeah,
that went well.
That was probably my favorite class.
Nice.
Let's see. Hope says my playwriting capstone. Unlike the other capstones, it was a year long instead of a semester. It was so rewarding. My creative writing classes for my minor are a very close second, especially my nonfiction class. I don't write nonfiction, so it made me step outside of my box, and nice. I learned the most from it. And Michael Lucera says, probably an English class, not sure which one.
Nice.
Okay, so Anne-Marie,
uh-huh.
What's your favorite college campus you've been on where you weren't a student?
WVU or Kent.
WVU or Kent?
WVU, West Virginia University. I actually was more down there when my brother was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm the only one in my family who didn't go to WVU for anything.
Yeah.
I actually considered going to grad school there partially because I felt I missed out on something.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked that campus. It had like the really nice sections, but then it had the really trashy sections. And if you read that article about like the stupid rape culture stuff, WVU was name checked in it. So that's awesome. But that was the skeezy part of town. There was a good part of town. Then at Kent State in Ohio, I almost transferred there when I transferred to Cleveland State. And I just absolutely mm-hmm. loved that campus. But
yeah, we went there to see a show when we were.
We did
yeah.
that Cassie was directing. Mm-hmm. A girl that I'd acted with was going there and she invited us to one of her directing finals or something. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. But they had changed their program.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'd have been transferred in, they weren't doing a straight acting program anymore, so I was like, no, because I don't sing. You know this. I don't sing. So I didn't end up going there. I went to Cleveland.
Yeah, for me, I don't think I really had a good experience there overall over the course of my visit there. Mm-hmm. But probably my favorite one college campus I ever went to was Penn State.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever actually been to Penn State.
Yeah, in State College, it's just a huge campus and a huge mm-hmm. like kind of scene with karaoke, and it was the first place I ever saw those like projection billboards on the sidewalk, and it was just a really neat place. Let's see here. Michael Lucero says, well, I've been on the College of Charleston campus before I was a student there. Does that count? It's a beautiful place.
Sure.
Oh, and Knight RAF says computer forensics was his favorite class.
Nice.
Bobby says Ringling School of Art and Design.
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that.
I've heard of Ringling Brothers.
Yeah, and Hope says her best friend went to Brunel University.
I've heard of that one.
But I attended a two-week theater camp there, too. It's a gorgeous campus with old mossy southern trees, gazebos, and you pretty much stepped into the early 1900s.
Nice. I'd like that.
Yeah, and Michael goes on to say that the College of Charleston, that's kind of what that feels like, too. Okay, so Anne-Marie, last question.
Sorry.
What's the most important lesson college ever taught you?
Step outside your comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and always drink water.
Always drink water.
Always drink water. Always. Mm-hmm. Before going to bed, drink water. And and eat saltines with spray butter.
Yeah, I'm showing a little bit of Michael's college campus on here right now. It's very beautiful.
It's so pretty. But yeah, no, step outside your comfort zone. Do something that makes you nervous. Do something you've never done before, because that's the last time you really can.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things I wish I could have done or could do now, but hi, three small people that I'm responsible for all of their well-being.
Yeah.
I can't do stuff like that anymore. I can't just take off for a week to go try some auditions.
Yeah.
So do things. Those of you still in college or going back to college or not married with children, go do things.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell me how fun it is so I can be jealous of you. You?
Okay. As for me, probably learning to like kind of synergize various aspects of study, you know, like learning that, yes, you're taking this English class and it's boring and you don't want to be there. This isn't a specific example for me or anything, but the thing is, like, that English class, if you're an engineering student, stuff you learn in that English class can apply to engineering. The engineering stuff can apply to English. Math can teach you a lot about music. Theater can teach you a lot about business. Everything. You know, you're taking one class on one subject, but the principles you learn in any particular class can be applied to, like, your concentration, your career, any other class you're taking. And a lot of the most fun experiences I ever had in college was, like, you know, taking a poetry class and then going and writing a poem for my journalism class, you know, for a review.
Interesting.
You know, stuff like that. Just kind of like mixing and matching and kind of synthesizing everything out into your thing, your own identity, which I think we saw a bit in Good Will Hunting, too.
Yeah.
That kind of argument being brought up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Hope says, don't take yourself too seriously. Take care of your teeth, or when you're almost 30, your budget will hate you. Or when you're over 30 and you still haven't tended to them. That guy, French fry. Michael Lucero says, sometimes you just need to drop a class. Know when you're in over your head. Been there. Done that.
Definitely.
Should have got a t-shirt.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say don't take a class before 10 a.m. ever.
Yeah. Try not to.
Okay. So I guess we're going to get into some listener feedback here in just a moment. But first we have to find out what's in the box for next weekend,
Marie.
Oh,
hold on. Wait. The box is hidden under my desk.
Dun, 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 dun. Where is it? Dun, 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 dun. Where could it be? Oh, there's the little box. What's in it?
It's what a horrible is it? Song that you're
what
singing.
What is it? What is it?
Games!
Yes, next week on Universe Box. Next week, Universe Box rolls the dice.
Universe Box.
Set up the board so we can talk about tabletop on next week's Universe Box. What's your favorite tabletop game? Did your family have a game night? Ever create your own game? Tell us how you lost your best friend over a game of Monopoly.
Oh, that's awful.
We're talking tabletop next week on Universe Box. Does anybody here know how to play this? Anybody?
Bye-bye.
Anybody?
Bye.
No, but we did have Michael Lucero and Bobby in the chat room over this weekend.
And Ryan.
And Knight RAF to play a bunch of tabletop games. 90% of it is completely awful.
There is one entire game that I think you're going to have to cut out.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Very possibly. No, but we're going to cut it down into like the best hour of game stuff ever.
Right.
By the way, Hope, I see that in there. Thank you. Yeah, because it is getting pretty late.
I think we might have to do that. I'm sorry.
We'll just put it in the Leftovers episode in a few weeks. Okay, but we want to get to the stories you guys submitted for this week. And you can always submit those to universeboxshow@gmail.com. You can tweet them to us @universe_box. The Facebook is facebook.com/theuniverseBox. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. You can find all that information at universeboxshow.com as well. First up, we have Michael, I believe, talking about some online classes, right? I think?
Mm-hmm.
I believe. Okay, take it away, Michael.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. It's
Hello.
Michael.
Hey.
I don't have a lot of fun college experiences to talk about, mostly because I have been taking most of my college classes online. It's something that's been pretty college and pretty common for a while in the college world. Online classes are offered for a lot of subjects. Almost any prereqs can be taken in the form of online classes, and even some major specific ones as well. They work really well for people who maybe have fuller schedules and don't have enough time to actually drive to a college and sit mm-hmm. through a lecture, since all the coursework can be done at home on your own time. Most of my classes have been online. The only ones I haven't really taken online are foreign language. And actually, I just transferred to a College of Charleston, where I'll be taking most of my classes in person. Unfortunately, I think there's strengths and weaknesses to both formats, and some people will do better in one while others will do better in the other. The benefits of in-person classes, of course, are structure and the actual presence, access to a professor. With in-person, you have a definite time and place where you have to be, which is helpful for people who aren't as good at time management and tend to procrastinate a little more. You also have the ability to talk directly to professors if you don't understand something, which is still possible in online classes, but it's really easy to miscommunicate if you're not speaking to somebody direct and in person. But on the other hand, if you're good at managing your own time and your own schedule, online classes can be a great thing. All the reading, the coursework, the tests, and the lectures can all be done at your own pace, within certain deadlines, of course, and at your own leisure, fitting whatever is best for your own schedule or whims. You also don't have to sit through hours of lectures on material you've already read about in your textbook and already taken notes on, and that can be really helpful for some people. So I'm starting in-person classes now. I'm taking archaeology and symbolic logic. I'm going to try to take some online classes, but I just don't know how many College of Charleston has available. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have some interesting college stories to tell in the future. Maybe for another leftover episode. But for now,
excellent.
I just think online classes are a really interesting aspect of the college experience that a lot of people don't really talk about. And probably for a good reason, because there's not really as many fun stories you can tell. You can't play beer pong by yourself at a computer, even if everybody else is in the chat room. It's just not something that works out. But it can be beneficial, and I just thought it might be worth discussing. All right. Take care, and can't wait to hear the show.
Thank you very much, Michael. As always, a very, very informative voicemail there. By the way, video watchers, Amory's camera's frozen, but since we're so close to the end of the show,
we're not going to fix it.
Yeah, we're just going to let it ride.
You can just listen to me. You don't have to look at me.
Okay, one more voicemail came in from Woo. Take it away, Woo.
Woo. College. I have to say, I looked on it quite fondly. This was the first time in my life that I ever felt that I could chart my own course and choose my place in the world. And it was the first time that I ever really enjoyed going to classes, because I really didn't like that in junior high, and I really didn't like that in high school. Of course, the usual stereotypes of college took place, the parties, the cliques, but unlike high school, you really couldn't avoid the cliques, but you could in college, and that's basically what I did. I really kept to myself. The one thing, if I could go back and change my undergrad career, is I would have enjoyed it more. I would have been a little bit more gregarious, a little bit more outgoing in terms of, you know, having more of a social life, because it really was quite easy to make friends in college, more so than in high school. I did have a lot of fun my senior year, but of course everybody had fun in their senior year because it's your senior year. I don't mean to be a downer, but I think what happens to a lot of people didn't happen to me, because I really have no freedom in my life, hardly ever. Not true freedom, where I don't really have to, how do I put this? Everybody has freedom in college. And I think people took freedom a little bit too far. And I think this is why a lot of people developed, you know, issues or abuse problems with substances and with ended personality defects that started in college. Because when you're a kid, before college, you had your parents there to be kind of like the thing that kept you on the ground, that kept you kind of grounded, or was supposed to anyway. And in college, you really didn't have any kind of real consequences in terms of not going to sleep or drinking a little too much, or, you know, there were no real consequences in terms of somebody telling you not to do that sort of thing. So, you know, unfortunately that happens in college, but I think the one thing that I take away from college is I really understood who I was going to be as a man, and put a lot of things in my life in perspective. Maybe the most transformative period of my life. That's what I remember about college.
Thank you very much, Woo. Yeah.
Oh, Woo.
Definitely. And yeah, you know, we did make a lot light of it, and a lot of romanticized talking about the partying. But yeah, there were people who took it too far, got messed up. You know, you have to
– There's still people that I'm like, guys, it's been a while.
Especially if you haven't partied pre-college. Like, if you get into college, take it easy.
Ease into it. Do not go straight for the ice 101.
Remember, they can't see you.
They can't see me.
Sadly, but that's okay because we're already here at the takeaways anyway.
We are at the takeaways.
But thank you guys, by the way, if you want to send us some tabletop stuff for next week.
That'd be great.
UniverseBoxShow@gmail.com, Twitter's @Universe_box, Facebook is facebook.com/TheUniverseBox, and the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now it's time for some takeaways, what we've learned from this episode. First of all, college is a new stage in life. Having regrets isn't the same as wishing things went differently.
Okay.
It's okay to figure it out as you go.
I'm still working on that.
And that old classic South Park line, there's a time and a place for everything.
And it's college.
College, excellent. Yes. So, Anne-Marie, where can people find your frozen face online?
You can find my frozen face on Twitter at AMBSimone, and I just recently started a new blog. It's called the Disney Passholder Project at DisneyPassholderProject.wordpress.com.
You'll probably see some pictures of me on that blog.
You will,
Because we've been going to Disney a lot. By the way, if anyone's in the Orlando area.
If anyone's in Orlando, please get a hold of us.
We're at Disney every weekend.
It's kind of an obsession now.
Okay, and as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can follow all of the podcasts we do at universebox.com. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up my novella, The Trials of King Sparrow, at bit.ly/King Sparrow. And you can catch us back here next week, live 8:30 p.m. EST on Thursday night at live.universebox.com.
Thank you, Hope.
Oh, yeah. Hope says read the blog. It's great. So, yeah, I guess that about does it. So I guess until next time,
remember to think outside.
Do not adjust your computer screen. It's your mind we're changing. Stories set to a theme. Think outside. Universe Box.
That was a long episode, wasn't it,
guys? That was a really long episode.